Storytelling Time is on the air. Would you like to hear some good news for a change? Join Dr. William Porter as he tells stories about extraordinary experiences that people sometimes have in their lives. Dr. Porter will be here in a moment.
Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's start today with a prayer. Lord God, I pray that you will help us in all we do today. Help us to focus on the various tasks we have before us. And help us to realize that whatever we do is a reflection of your guidance in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Our word of inspiration is taken from a verse of Scripture today. And it comes from Mark 11:23. As Jesus was speaking to his disciples, it reads, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." What an amazing scripture. We have the power within us to move mountains. That is to say, to effectively deal with any problem or issue that might come up in our lives. Before we go on break, let me remind you that to visit my website, williamporterlife.com, for more information about the work that I do, including the various books and other materials that are available. You might want to take advantage of some of these things. I'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. Let's get right into today's story. If you remember, the last time Maggie met who she thought at the time was the dream of her life, Fred Mintz, at a school social after a basketball game on the campus of MCCU. They saw each other periodically after that first encounter and became close friends. They had a winter wonderland experience, you might say. They really enjoyed each other's company. And more than that, they loved each other. Before too long, spring had come and gone, and summertime was upon the both of them. Soon they would separate from one another. What was a winter wonderland during the spring semester at MCCU would turn into summertime fun for both Fred and Maggie. That is, without each other. At that point, they both would be separated for such a long stretch, and that would make life less special for the both of them. Fred had a basketball camp that he conducted during the summer in his hometown of Chicago, and Maggie would be in Atlantic City, working in a coffee shop. The bright spot for Maggie was that she would get to go on the beach. Both being juniors in college, they looked forward to seeing each other again in the fall, as they would enter their final year in school, although she would be away from Fred, for such a long time, almost 3 months in fact. She really looked forward to living in Atlantic City over the summer months and regrouping from the long school year that had just passed. Despite the emphasis on her life at the time of her new love, the emptiness that Maggie felt by being away from the one she cared so much about, she was excited, but she wasn't excited to the point of not feeling sad because she had to be away from him. But she focused on the situation that she was in at the time, and that was a trip, a vacation of sorts, to one of the major tourist cities in the country. She had arranged to work as a waitress at a popular coffee shop on the boardwalk. When not at work, she planned to spend some vacation time by enjoying the sights and wonders of the city. She anticipated all the good things that were available for the taking, especially the beach. Although she never learned how to swim, she was naturally attracted to the water. Even before leaving Flint for Atlantic City, she would often daydream about her upcoming vacation. Oh my goodness, being on the beach and in the ocean. She really looked forward to her summer vacation. We'll be back after a short break. It had been a long drive from Flint to Atlantic City, more than 10 hours on the road, in fact. Maggie was very tired after the journey, but she really wanted to get a look at the beach. So she decided not to go directly to her rental house, but instead to visit the seaside. Atlantic City did not disappoint. As she approached the boardwalk, she just stood there for a few minutes admiring what was in front of her. The crowds walking to and fro in the theme park known as the Steel Pier that she heard so much about was almost in front of her. And the scent of hot dogs and hamburgers and a variety of other foods permeating her sense of smell all provided an excitement that she had never experienced before. Maggie eventually walked onto the beach itself. She could not resist taking off her shoes, even at the risk of sand clinging to her feet. She had the beach experience without getting into the water. Standing there, she gazed outward and watched the ocean waves' rhythmic motion going back and forth onto the shore. After leaving the beach, Maggie finally arrived at the house where she had reserved the room. It was a Thursday night. She would spend this night as well as Friday getting accustomed to her new surroundings. She would start on her job on Saturday afternoon. The owner of this rather nice condo was Miss Maddie, a lady who had been recently widowed. Miss Maddie desired someone to be around with her during the summer. This was because the students from a local technical college who had roomed with her during the regular school year had left to return to their hometowns. Miss Maddie welcomed Maggie with open arms, and Maggie knew that this was the right place for her. Maggie knew that this was the right place to be, a sort of home away from home, and the pleasant atmosphere there created by Miss Maddie reminded her of her own parents' house back in Flint. After spending the first night in her room, the next morning Maggie headed to the seashore. She finally arrived at Nate's coffee shop and introduced herself to the manager. They discussed her work schedule. As they had agreed weeks earlier by phone, she would work on the second shift from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 10 o'clock at night. With that information confirmed, Maggie was ready to start her summer job and to enjoy all the things that Atlantic City had to offer during her free time away from work. Maggie returned to her room, spent her second night there, then woke up the next day feeling energized. After spending the morning just relaxing, by early afternoon, she made the 30-minute walk back to Nate's to start her first day of work. She had been a waitress before back in Flint and knew the fundamentals of the job in providing good service to customers. Nate's was known for its excellent coffee as well as an assortment of baked products in addition to burgers, fries, and other fast foods. Their cheesecake was said to be the best on the boardwalk. The whole front area of the restaurant was open for a direct view of passing foot traffic outside. But more importantly to Maggie, it had the clear, unobstructed view of the ocean. At the end of her workday, Maggie cleaned her area and checked out. She was ready for her night on the boardwalk. She couldn't wait to see what Atlantic City was really like. She ended up at Dane's Theater, where visitors could see world-class entertainers, musical events, or Broadway plays. Fortunately, the concert started at 11, about an hour after she had left work. So she had some time to roam around and take in all of the excitement of the Steel Pier. Lights flash from the neon signs in front of night spots, trying to entice passerbys to come in and patronize their business, and on the many rides available for thrill seekers. Maggie passed the time sightseeing like many of the tourists before, attending a 2-hour concert at the theater. The concert featured the singing legend Gladys Knight. Her ending song reminded Maggie so much of her new love, Fred Mintz. It brought back memories of the first time she met him back on campus, the campus of MCCU, at a dance party that she attended. The song reminded her of what she considered to be a miracle that had taken place in her life. The man of her dreams had arrived. Yes, that last song reminded Maggie that, despite the ups and downs in her life, the best thing that had happened to her did happen on that night. We'll be right back with the rest of the story. Welcome back. After returning home from the concert, Maggie had a good night's sleep as she remembered all that happened that day. As she awoke the following morning, it was to be another day of work later that afternoon. Before going to the coffee shop, Maggie decided to take another trip onto the beach. When she arrived there, just prior to noontime, she set up an umbrella and a beach chair amidst several other beachgoers in that area. Just sitting there and enjoying the ambiance of the seaside was such a thrill to her. As she looked over the horizon, seagulls were circling in search of discarded food. A gentle breeze blew in from the ocean, defied the typically high temperatures that usually existed at this time of day. Maggie dozed off with what turned out to be over an hour of sleep right there on the beach. Maggie was so relaxed that she continually drifted between sleep and being awake. It got to the point where she couldn't determine whether she was dreaming or just daydreaming while being awake. Be that as it may, she envisioned herself getting up from her chair and slowly moving toward the water. When she arrived at the edge of an oncoming wave, she gingerly placed one foot and then another in the water. Then she decided to submerge the rest of her body into the water, feet and legs as well. Water that now came up to her thighs almost. Then she stepped further into the ocean. Gradually, she would go further and further out. Soon, the water was up to her waist. The chill of the water on her lower body betrayed the warmth that she got from the sunlight beating down on her upper areas. She slowly continued to move farther out into the ocean until the water level came up to near her shoulders. There continued to be a contrast between the cool ocean water and the heat of the sunlight on her upper body. It was a strange feeling. Soon Maggie went so far out in the ocean that only a few other thrill seekers could be seen. Being an adventurous woman, she drifted a little further out. Since she had never learned to swim, she wanted to be sure that her foot could touch the ocean bottom to give her the stability and the support that she needed to keep her body above the water level. As she proceeded to inch a little further out, she decided to turn around and look toward the shore. Maggie was astonished to see how small the area along the beach looked. Suddenly, she realized that she was alone far out in the ocean. There was nobody else that far out. Her entire body was submerged with only a portion of her shoulders and her head above the water. Maggie wondered if anyone would hear her if she needed help. Unsure of the answer, she decided to gradually start moving back toward the beach, or at least to where there were other swimmers around in case she ran into a problem. Well, she did run into a problem, and she could feel it. First, with the water now slightly above her shoulders, with only her head above the ocean level, she could feel the sand beneath her feet starting to give way. For the first time, Maggie felt her heart skip a beat with fear, and she had reason to. If the ocean bottom were to become any lower at that point, she would have become totally submerged. If that were to have happened, she thought, drowning in the ocean would be a real possibility. As Maggie began to head back to the beach, she sensed a slight tug on her ankles and immediately panicked as she felt herself beginning to be totally submerged. That tug on her ankles was especially frightening because she did not know what it was. Was it a huge fish? Or worse, was it a shark? Maggie then awoke, without realizing that she had drifted off to sleep again. She apparently dreamed about the risk she took by going so far out into the ocean. Yes, Maggie had drifted off to sleep again, but now she was wide awake. It was a pleasant dream for the most part, but ended up being a nightmare, a bad ending to a dream in the heat of the day. We'll be right back. I'll return in a moment. Welcome back. Our scripture today comes from Proverbs 3, verses 13 and 14, and it reads, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold." Well, that's all for now. I'll see you back here the next time. And remember, there's always more good things coming your way.
Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let it know. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell me. Here I am.
Here I am, here I stand, Lord.
Bye. I give myself away.
Give myself
can use me. I give myself away.